Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world, broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth! On the Blake, Internet with Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports in Depth is the show, open and always, John Coltrane, appropriately named,
Dear Lord.
Dear Lord! We thank you for all things. All good and wonderful things come from you. Dear Lord, it is you, man. It's not a dear Lord, we thank you! The little things that we so largely take for granted. And we just want to thank you for being our God, being our Savior. More importantly, Lord, thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. And we ask these blessings and all of the blessings in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake, right at Rainbow Children's Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. And it is a show that we're going to be waiting to get connected at the press conference in St. Louis. Don King with another great card. And I should have my co-host and my cohorts, this little baby Lois, joining me along with
Mr.
little
Doc Stanley, president of Counterfall, the studio's here.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear from St. Louis, from Alan Harper, the head man of PR, and last year's award winner as top PR man from the Box Writers of America, Don King, legendary subscriber to Radio Icon, Doc and Stanley, host of his radio show, renowned and revered radio show Sports in Depth, to talk to legendary boxing promoter and genius Don King. Doc will also talk to the mayor of St. Louis, Sally Faith, Doc, Dusty, and Little Coco. And Posse will talk to the core of the fight of Don King's June 25th fight card from St. Louis, highlighted by the Devin the Great Alexander against Lucas. How do you pronounce that last name?
Matisse
fight.
Lucas
Matisse. How?
You know who? Sergio Martinez.
You know who's on this card, too. Remember Powell? Cico
Powell. Yes, such a Powell. You know what's so funny? He handed.
Well, you know, hold on.
Canine. Sorry. Go ahead.
He's got the number one rank in the IBF now.
Right. He handed Canine, who beat Corey Spinks, his only defeat, and so now this is a revenge fight, man.
Hmm.
Yeah. So and Cornelius Brewer, Canine, is one of the competitors in the contender series.
Wow, that contender series has really done well with some of that. I remember it was a contender fighter that ended the career of Arturo Gatti.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Nelson, you join us, Mooney? Is Mooney here? Okay, we got another caller. Who's the other call? I see another call in here. I thought it might have been Alan, but I guess he'll be calling us shortly, Alan Harper. You know the thing about this card too. It's HBO After Dark card, and it's finally time HBO finally gave Don a little airtime and playtime here. So it's HBO. But what Don also did, he's got now. Give me the correct pronunciation on this. C A D E N A.
Cadenas. It means chain in English.
Okay, cadenas trace. It means chain.
TV. Yeah, chain.
Okay. So that's cadenas trace. Three chains. Mexico television station DK made a deal,
exactly.
And the fight's going to be on Channel 28 and 128, also in Mexico. The other day, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Received a championship belt.
Jose
Suleiman, the legendary head of WBC, close friend of Don King for so many years, and you know, Don did so much to put that organization into a level of credibility and height in which it's risen as Larry Holmes is the guy who did so much for the IBF and its stature. You know, Lou Mel Smith Jr. said as exactly Larry ran to the IBF running away from Greg Page Jr. But that was one of the and I think probably of all the belts, that is probably the one most revered and most prestigious. But if I'm correct, it was the WBC that was the only boxing body that didn't strip Ali when he...
That was the only one.
Refused induction into the
military.
And the WBC was the only organization that said, hey, no, he's the champ, has to lose the belt in the ring, and if he doesn't lose it in the ring, hey, that's how it is, we're not doing that away. And they were the only one. And it's just sort of ironic that, you know, Don, who was prompted to move to the position of promoter through through Ali, who had said, you know, the African Americans were the gladiators, but there was nobody there in higher levels. And it was Don and Suleiman, and then, like I said, Robert Lee came along with the IBF, brought that organization to prominence. What a great job he did, and his son, Robert Lee Jr. I remember so well the day in Mickey Mouse. You know, Marion Borkin and Larry Hardesty had kind of garnered the IBF Boxing Sports Reporter Year Award. Larry won it back-to-back. Marion won it. And then I remember being at Mickey Mantle's, and Bobby Lee Jr. was down there, one of those great shows that Larry had. What a tremendous evening we used to have down there.
Yeah.
And I said, Bob, I said, you know, who won the Reporter of the Year Award this year, you know? And he says, I don't know, Doc. He's hold on. He said, but, you know, I got my father on the line. Let me ask him. And then about 45 seconds later, he said, Doc. I said, yes, you won. I was the 1998 winner. And I can't tell you the pride and
I can imagine that. I mean,
adulation,
that's it's highly competitive with all those media people, you know.
Thanks. I mean, first of all, to win the award from the IBF, African American Organization, then to win it after being won by the likes of the legendary Larry Hardesty, who I've said is the greatest African American sportscaster sports-wise in the history of the city, 13 years. I mean, the first guy who was... The first everything was the legendary Hal Jackson, my second mentor, and then to also win the award with my cohort and the greatest boxing mind of history, Marion Borkin, who brought the greatest boxing show in the history of Borkin.
Exactly.
And then to be announced, you know, we were live on air in the legendary Mickey Mantle's, Bill Lederman, and I remember going down. I had a great time at the affair. Bernard Hopkins was there. Host of, in fact, I have some of the memorabilia of a couple of famous referees. It was the first time I went to an affair, and they gave you a plate, and you couldn't finish it. You know what I mean? It was just really a family serving. Oh man, a family serving, man. Like, and it happened to be in Florida that year, and buddy of mine, in fact, the big guy who kind of brought Wolf Benitez to the my mindset, Anthony Emil Chinky Nguyen-Dam. And it just worked out that I was able to go down, visit him, stay at his place, and do the affair. And it was a great weekend. Bernard Hopkins was there. Me and Bernard talked. Bernard was the middleweight champ, having some problems at that time. I think it was Butch Lewis then. I don't know if it was Butch or not. And
Butch Lewis took care of our Michael Spinks, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike was the guy. I mean, no, I'm talking about Michael Spinks. You know, Mike Spinks is the only guy who retired and stayed retired. Going on his own terms. I mean, you know, Hagler was sort of pushed out due to his dismay. But I'll never forget, Doc Stanley sporting up on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Show sporting up. I'll never forget, WBC had a luncheon, and it was the beginning of the emergence of Julio Cesar Chavez on the boxing scene, and he was saluted. Ray Leonard was saluted. He had just finished beating Hagler. And Mike Tyson. In fact, it was the first time that Mike Tyson had publicly been seen with Robin Givens. And I remember Ray was leaving Ray had to leave early, and he was leaving, and a reporter was going toward the coat room with Ray and say,
yeah.
Ray, you know, what's the possibility of you and Marvin doing it again? I never get with Ray and said, Ray said, all he has to do is call.
Just call me.
I remember that. He said, all he has to do is call. And it evidently was a call he never made.
Yeah.
Right, never came again. But I never forget Ray Leonard saying that, you know, all he has to do is call. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Show, Channel Sports and Depth, the show. We're waiting for Alan Harper to give us a call. And with that, we'll be talking to Don King and a host of the other fighters and on the fight card. We're looking for Oliver Mel Smith Jr. to join us, too. Another minute, I'm going to give Al a call to make sure he hasn't forgotten us.
Right. You know, Don King, his name is synonymous with greatness. I mean, I'm not playing with words, man, but in the business of boxing, man, this man has promoted over 600 world title fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of which over 100 of those guys made over $1 million purchases.
Yeah.
And I remember, is somebody on the phone?
Yeah. Over 100 world title fights. Hold on, let me get this other call here for us. So we're getting on the line.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, hello?
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello, Doc?
Hello?
Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah, Greg.
I can hear you.
Christina, can you hear me?
I got him.
Hello?
Yeah. I have it. If not, I'll call you. 935 Warby Roberts. Got him. 10-4.
Let me call you right back. You can't seem to, be hearing me out there.
No, we hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay, because I'm talking. I don't hear anybody over there.
No,
after you talk, you're supposed to be listening.
You heard
all
that,
right? I see Doc on the top of his game, Christina, as usual. Hey, Doc, I wanted to say something really quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were speaking about Ali and the Army, you know, I know you know this. I know Christina knows it. But for the uninitiated who are out there in the Sports Talk Nation, Ali originally was convicted, facing 5 years and I believe a $200,000 fine.
Yeah.
He had originally been convicted. He only got his freedom when the Supreme Court actually overturned the original verdict.
Absolutely. And he faced prison time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
5 years.
They were ready to put him in the
funny thing, because Angelo Dundee spoke in his book about that situation, and you know, a situation where first he was declared ineligible, sort of seen a certain degree as a dummy. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this guy couldn't even make it to the military, and then all of a sudden, he's eligible. He hasn't changed anything, hasn't done anything, and all of a sudden now he's went from 1F to 1A.
Yeah.
And Angelo
right.
said, you know, Angelo made so two very astute observation interjections. He said, first of all, he said that they were out to get my guy.
Yeah.
You know, he said they were out to get my guy. And then he said, you know, what was the problem with him changing his name? He says, hey, you know, what's the big deal with that? You know, and he alludes the fact, you know, movies. There's few movie stars with the real name. So what's the problem with this guy changing his name?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
up on the play, credit Rainbow Soul Supporters of the show. We're waiting for Meet Me in St. Louis show, and we're waiting to talk to some. Then you know, Don King press conference can last a while. We're going to make a call to Alan Harper to see what is happening. Alan had thought that it would be better to. Talk after the press conference.
Mm,
you know, it's an hour difference in time, so they are an hour ahead of us, and we're an hour behind them. So we're waiting to talk to them. And another few minutes, I'll give them a call. You talked about Don. I remember Don first coming on the show. Well, you know, let's look at this card, Dusty. Devin Alexander against the monster. 28-1 with 26 knockouts, ranked number 3. Talk to him, Dusty. Tell us something about him.
This guy, 28, that's Lucas Matisse. He was undefeated when he fought Zab Judah. And Zab Judah got knocked down twice, and I guess maybe the Combine wanted to give Zab Judah a second life because he had redeemed himself and cleaned up his act, and they gave him the decision. But I felt Lucas Matisse had beaten Zab Judah. I'm happy for Judah, but I don't think it was fair. And since then, Matisse has knocked out four guys. I guess he took it out on them, what was done to him with Judah. And Judah went on to win that junior welterweight title, which now he's defending with Amir Khan sometime in September, I believe, or July 23rd. But Matisse has been...
Which has the potential to be fight of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it has the potential because this is a give and take.
Hold on. Hey, Rooney, could you say it? Because, I mean, you say it at least three times a year, three times a show. Say it one more time. Say it one more time, Rooney.
And has the potential, Amir Khan, Zab Judah. If Zab's head's on straight and he's in the mood to fight, has the potential to be fight of the year,
of course. And they give Khan all the advantages. They even intimated that it was a slam dunk walkthrough for Khan, but it's not going to be a walkthrough with Zab Judah, with the reborn, born again Christian, I guess you want to call it, Zab Judah. You know,
I'm very interested to see Dusty and Doc. How he handles Judah's speed. I don't know if he's fought anyone who's as slick and who has as fast a hand as Judah. I'm interested to see how Khan handles his speed.
Right.
Because Judah comes to fight it easy.
Well, you know, the thing here, too, is people who see that as a slam dunk. I mean, you know, Khan went 11 rounds with Paulie Malignaggi. And Zab is far superior in every aspect of Paulie Malignaggi.
And Paulie can't break an egg.
If Paulie had a punch, he would have seen, perhaps it would have been a different gate. But
Paulie's strictly a boxer, Dusty, and he had no, you know the thing about a boxer puncher? He's a boxer, half of that. He has no punch. He can't break an egg.
He had no punch. But the problem that I have with Zab Judah is that he's become the second coming of a Pernell Whitaker, and I don't like that. I mean, Pernell took over for Judah's father as a main trainer, and all he did was teach him his slick bobbing, weaving moves and dancing and prancing, and to me it's taken away from his power punching. And I that may be to an advantage with Amit Khan, but then I'm looking for Judah to get off his toes and use that powerful left uppercut of his. That's a knockout punch, man. So,
well, I said it before, Dusty. I told you and Doc before. Pardon me for cutting you off.
No,
I thought the perfect manager for him would be. I just had his name now, and just that quickly, I forgot.
Buddy McGirt.
Thank you,
Buddy McGirt.
I thought James Buddy McGirt would be the perfect trainer for him.
Training for him, yeah. Well, you know.
And I also thought that Buddy McGirt would also be the perfect guy for Paul Williams.
Could be, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's worth a change. It's worth a cleaning of the house.
If you're going to clean up the house,
you get somebody that's going to elevate the fighter, not to make the fighter fight the way you fought. And that's the problem that I was Zab Judah with Pernell Whitaker. You know, but we'll see what happens. I mean, he looked very good. After fighting like Pernell Whitaker for about five rounds, he looked. I mean, when he hit that African forgot where he was, man. You know, he hit him, staggered him, and he was defenseless. And Zab hit him with a two or three more right left. Man, that was over, finished. So we'll see what happens. You know. But,
and
you know,
the reason that I thought that, but the reason I thought Buddy would be really good for the two guys that I just mentioned is because, as you and Doc know, you know, we credited him with prolonging the brawler's career, whose name, I don't know why everybody's name is escaping me today.
Arturo Gatti
prolonging his career and letting him know that, hey, it's okay to be slick. It's okay to use the jab. It doesn't always have to be you hit me and I hit you.
Exactly. Because if it hadn't been for Buddy McGurk, Jesus, how could I? Oh, Mickey Ward would have killed Arturo Gatti. In that first fight alone, you see how hard Mickey Ward hit him to the kidneys about, and dropped him, I think, was twice. But then they went back to the drawing board, man, and he gave Arturo Gatti a jab, gave him a little dancing feet, gave him a lot of defense, And, you know, the rest was history because, I mean, he really punished Mickey Ward in that third, the trilogy. I mean, I think he busted his eye socket. He hit him so hard. I mean, Arturo Galli was a heavy-handed hitter, but what saved his career was, of course, his newfound boxing ability thanks to, you know, to Buddy McGirt, you know.
That slickness, Dusty and Doc, that kind of type of slickness would serve a fighter, especially like a Paul Williams, very, very well. Teach him to fight tall, teach him to keep guys at the end of that long, long jab, and then drop the right hand when he can.
Exactly. And speaking of Paul Williams, he's fighting this undefeated Cuban defector, Arislandi Lara, who's a junior middleweight, undefeated, and can punch. So I'm wondering whether this was stepping into dangerous territory instead of taking a lighter tune-up, instead of, you know, going with this guy. But we'll see what happens. But
hey, Dusty, as an amateur champion yourself, let me ask you this, and Doc, pardon me, I mean, I'll be always. But Dusty, as a former amateur champion yourself, what is it that used to make those Cuban teams back in the day so great with Stevenson and company?
Okay, the fact of the matter is that me at 16 was fighting a Cuban at 25 years of age.
Rainbow Souls and Sports Network show. No, it's not the Dusty and Lou Coco show, even though they once again. I just called St. Louis. The press conference sergeant, DK Lulu P, but what we have, Alan Hoffa is going to give us a call.
Right, good.
In a minute or two. And then we'll talk to Al. He'll give us the particulars on the card.
Right.
How things are going. So. And any minute, a little background noise, or whatever it is, we got to get rid of it, there, gang. And so in a minute or two, Alan Harper will be joining us and giving us the card from the Don King situation. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, the Rainbow Sports of the show. One more time. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake. Radio Network Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network is the show. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, and we'll be right back with Dusty and Little Coco. And meet me in St. Louis.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
And the soul of boxing, during his tenure, promoter extraordinaire Don King will be joining us to talk to his PR man, the legendary Alan Harper. Al will be calling us shortly to give us the 411 on that great card coming out of St. Louis, and also the fact that we will have that card on HBO after dark tomorrow. That's me.
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
Hello. Okay, that's me. Those conversations, we don't want to hear him. Cover that microphone, baby, when you're talking to the lady. Cover that microphone.
Father Doc. Yes.
You know what? Just for that, you can stay up late tonight and watch boxing.
Oh, I'm being punished.
You know, that's me.
You
talked about, has Alexander taken a chew too big in this fight?
Alexander? I believe using the same philosophy or the same example of Paul Williams with
Sergio Martinez.
Arislandi Lara.
With the other Cuban guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the other Cuban.
Okay.
This guy Matisse is a puncher. I mean, this guy hits like rocks. He is on the same line with Maidana. All three of them are countrymen like Sergio Martinez, and these guys come from Argentina with rocks in their hands, man. And so, Devin, yes, he's fast, he's slick, you know. But what I saw him against Timothy Bradley could be, should I say, easier pickings for Matisse, because Matisse is just as much of a boxer as he is a puncher. You know, and he gave who's a southpaw.
So he's Alexander doesn't have the punch.
No, he doesn't have the punch.
He doesn't have the punch. Lucas does, and Lucas has enough boxing skills to be in the same realm. So you are leaning toward Lucas?
On paper right now, I think because I'm still bothered by the shadow of what Devin did with Timothy Bradley. He's no match in the 11th round because he couldn't see. He was injured. He was hurt.
Well, it's funny that you talked about that, too, because the referee stopped that. Hold on. You're there. At the time on the scorecards, it was 96-95, 97-93, 98-93,
right.
Bradley. So now,
right,
I look at that. With those scorecards, if the fight continues without a knockout, he had a chance of a draw on one card, and he really couldn't win on the other two. But I just wanted to let you know that at the time, that was the scoring the fight was stopped.
I looked at that fight as a possibly a draw or a split decision mm-hmm. in favor of Bradley. You see?
I tell you what, and the way it was going, it was ruled because if Alexander's fight is stopped in the 10th, if he wins that round,
right.
And you're right, and he wins the next two rounds, you're right. We got a draw, and we got the other two cards with, you're right, a tremendous possibility of a split decision.
Your split decision. And what I'm saying is that Matisse fought a southpaw, which is Zab Judah, and Alexander is a southpaw. You know, and his right hand was fighting the mark. Now, Zab and Devin are two different. They're
animals.
Not even the same area code. You know, but the fact of the matter is that he fought a southpaw. So this guy's right hand is monstrous, and he can box. So let's put it this way: I look for Alexander to win, but I would not be surprised if Matisse pulls it out.
It's at these moments that the politician in you comes out. Rudy, who do you like in this one, Rudy?
I'm not sure. Like, I need to see him. I really haven't seen enough of either one. I've seen a little more of Alexander, and
absolutely.
He can be kind of iffy. I want to take a little bit more of the other guy. I haven't really seen him quite as much, so I'm not trying to teeter on. I just like to see a little bit more of him. But I do have something for you, Doc, quite frankly now.
Mm-hmm.
We both had a slight difference of opinion on one of the fighters. I'm trying to think of what it is, but since I have Dusty here, I'm going to appeal to Dusty for a little bit of backup here. It was in regard to one of the fighters. I'm trying to figure out if it was Paul Williams or whom it was. For some reason, everything seems to be slipping my mind so far. But not continue. It'll come to me. Go ahead. That's the point that you were going to make. Because quite frankly, I just lost my train of thought. So go right ahead.
Matisse and Alexander have common opponents that they beat. That was Chop Chop Corley. What's his name? Devin Alexander beat him by unanimous decision.
What are we talking about, Wendy? Did you finally realize the name of the fighter that you were talking about?
No, Doc, for some reason, we've had beef about this for a while. I've said A about it, you said B, and I figured I could look for Dusty for a little backup. But just as soon as I was going to say
is it Bernard Hopkins?
Doc! Good job by you. See, folks, this is why when I say, when you hear the Sports and Death Nation, people around the globe, that means big things popping, little things popping. Doc, that's it. I'm of the contention, Dusty. I'm under contention.
Yeah.
Me and Doc have always been with this aloof. I am on the contention, of the contention that based on his longevity and record,
right.
that you finally, begrudgingly, if you have to put Hopkins in a class of great middleweights. Whether he has had the competition of, obviously haven't fought fighters as good as they did in the old days, but that's not his fault. But based on his record, his record number of title defenses, and his longevity, I think he might have been the
great Hopkins, Bernard Hopkins, in today's scope of stuff, is a great fighter. But,
it's,
you know, when I judge great fighters
against
great fighters, you know, my thing is, what does a great fighter do against another great fighter? Not like Pernell Whitaker. There were people who were under this lunatic mindset. and there's one of them, and he's a friend, and he's another. This lunatic that Pernell Whitaker could have beat Roberto Duran. I mean, like,
are you kidding? Who says that?
There's no way.
And I'm thinking they're right. They're talking Roberto Duran Jr. They're not talking about Roberto Duran.
Roberto Duran III.
Roberto Duran Jr.
Let me tell you something. There are three people in the sport. I'm not going to mention them of merit. One I asked, one is a devout Pernell Whitaker guy. The other guy I asked, he had to think about it. And the other guy I asked, he was wavering too. And I'm like, this validates to me that they didn't know what they're talking. I mean, they're perpetrating the fraud, man. I mean, Roberto Duran was the greatest lightweight that ever lived. I mean, he came to a point who saw Benny Leonard, and a lot of people thought Leonard was the great other, and he conceded. I mean, Duran was the best. Now, Bernard Hopkins, first of all, Bernard Hopkins proves how inferior today's fighters are, that a guy his age can not only still fight, but win. In the era of Dusty, Duran, Hagler, Ray Leonard, Benitez, Tommy Hearns, Hopkins couldn't still be fighting at this age. The guy has put together a great resume, but that doesn't mean he's a great fighter. Talk to me, Dusty.
Well, he would not have been competitive. This is what I'm trying to tell you. In the era of the middleweights of my time, okay. He would not have been competitive. He just happened to be at the time or the era or the age where they were equal to him or inferior to him. The only
Agreed.
One that slapped him around and knocked him down was Roy Jones, and he was chomping at the bit for 15 years to get back to the man. And he was not that great when he fought a Calzacchi, and Calzacchi made a fool of him. He was not that great when he fought his first pro fight and lost. He was not that great when he gave away the middleweight title not once but twice to Jermaine Taylor. So what makes him great?
Here's the bottom line, Dusty. Marie, are you here with us, Marie Ruggiero?
Yes, I'm listening to this conversation.
The first lady about here's the bottom line. In my theory, when you say a great fighter, you say, okay, what would he do against Ray Robinson? Bob, that's a loss. What would he do against Tommy Hearns? Bob, that's another loss. Emil Griffin, Bob, that's another loss. Marcel, Bob, that's another loss. Jake LaMotta, Bob, that's another loss. That's five losses.
Everybody that you mentioned loses to those guys. Rooney,
Jake LaMotta was the first guy to ever beat Ray Robinson. Okay?
This is known.
All right? Okay, Jake, now, that's five guys you can't beat. Now, let's continue.
You're talking about all-time great, though, Doc.
Yeah, but if he's an all-time great, he's got to be able to beat one of them.
Yeah,
how can he be all-time great? He can't beat all-time great.
This is true, Doc. He don't beat Ray Leonard. Well, how many people beat Ray Leonard in his prime, Doc? How many people beat Ray Leonard in his prime?
Rooney. This is my thing, Mooney. If you're an all-time great, you got to be able to dance
and talk.
You can't do it.
You're talking about a different era, Doc.
That's exactly.
I don't care. Here's the bottom line. Iran Barkley would have beat Bernard Hopkins to death.
That's subject to
death.
Your opinion, but you don't know.
Okay?
You don't know.
Roberto Duran, who at middleweight was way past his prime, beats Bernard Hopkins.
Okay, that's your opinion from your observation, but you got to look at what makes a
person. Dusty, let's understand something on this show. This ain't, this is what the doc says. this is the way it goes. That's the way I see it. The bottom line is, Dusty, okay, you're my man. You know, if you're going to tell me that you think Bernard Hopkins stood a chance against any of those fighters,
I did not
hang
say
up
that.
Right now.
You see, you misinterpreted
but
what I'm
saying. That's it. It doesn't sound about.
No,
he couldn't beat none of those guys.
But
he's
talking about the all-time greats of the sport.
But Rooney, how good can Bernard Hopkins be when he lost to Jermaine Taylor twice? Not once.
Hey, guys,
twice.
I had a bad night, doctor. Everybody has a bad night.
Hey. Ray Robinson never had a bad night as a welterweight. He was 77-0 before he got his first title shot. Never lost a fight as a welterweight. Was 94-0 before he lost to Jake LaMotta.
But you're talking about possibly the greatest fighter of all time, Doc.
Roberto Duran, when he came in the ring against Sugar Ray Leonard, their records were flip-flop. Ray was 27-0. Duran was 72-1. I mean, Bernard Hopkins. Hold on. Let me do a little question break here. I mean, you know, Bernard Hopkins, great by today's. I mean, who was Bernard Hopkins when he came into that tournament that Don King had for the middleweights? He was the grabbing, hugging, mugging Bernard
Hopkins.
That's
exactly what we're trying to tell you.
He happened to catch Tito Trinidad on a bad night and still went 11 rounds with Tito Trinidad.
What I'm trying to tell
hold
you.
Hold on, fellas. Let's take a break. Hold tight.
Oh,
hold tight.
Wow.
Okay.
Now we're going to take a break.
My show, Dusty.
Yeah.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
I'm going to say something else, too. You know, Bernard Hopkins.
All I'm trying to tell you, Doc.
Let me say that. Bernard Hopkins lost his very first pro fight.
Yes, I told you that, but what I'm trying to tell
pro
you.
Fight.
Yeah, a lot of guys agreeing in their first pro outing. A lot of guys agreeing in their first pro fight, Doc. A lot of guys lost their first pro fight.
Hey, but you know what? Here's my point. And then we're going to go to our lady guest. Here's my point. Ray Leonard won his first fight. Duran won his first fight. Ali won his first fight. Okay? Ray Robinson won his first fight. Tommy Hearns won his first fight. Are you starting to feel this, gang? Wolf won his first fight.
You're knocking him because he lost his first fight.
Bernard Hopkins does not. You can't utter him in the same breath with the guys. And you know what?
Let's
get an opinion from our guest today. Wait, I got to catch you, Don. Keep people. Marie, Bernard Hopkins, all time great.
Yes, I would agree.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen him fight once, and he fought James Toney, who was then over the hill.
Yeah. In his era, he has been classified because he's at the retirement age. He beat a young man who probably does not know how to fight like the old timers, and you're fighting an old timer. Look, let me tell you something. Let's go back in history. You're dealing with Archie Moore. Archie Moore had 185 fights, 133 knockouts, 23 losses. Is Archie Moore a great? Would Bernard Hopkins have beaten Archie Moore? Of course not. Bernard Hopkins cannot even carry his lunch pail, man. And this is what I'm saying. You cannot compare eras. Right now, he's looked up at a boxing phenom because at his age, he broke the record, just like George Foreman.
Been doing it for a long time.
First of all, welcome to the First Lady of Boxing, Marie. Knows this game. You're a guy who fought this game, and you know better than anybody else, Bernard Hopkins is nowhere near in the same class as guys from your year. I give it to him. Let's look at Bernard Hopkins.
We're talking about his era, though, Doc. His era. Not the guys that you just mentioned, Doc.
Here's my point. Bernard Hopkins is a great fighter in this era, but it's like today's baseball players. Now, are you going to tell me that a guy, like this guy Holiday from the Phillies, great pitcher, But how he in the same class with Marichal and Koufax?
Of course. Let me give you a perfect example, Doc. That's like saying as great as, let me take a name. Okay, Albert Pujols. That's like saying, how would he have done against Gibson? How would he have done against Koufax?
Albert Pujols is coming from a different. A great hitter, okay, is going to be a great hitter. If you hit 347, okay, lifetime. It's like DiMaggio. DiMaggio, Mays, they're great in the era. They're great players. Okay, they're cut from a different cloth. Pujols, you know, right now, if Albert Pujols never plays another game, Albert Pujols is the first ballot Hall of Famer.
What I'm trying to say is, and what I'm trying to say is, like, what you say is absolutely true about Gwesten. But like I said, we can always dream and say, how would he have done against Bob Gibson? How would he have done against Marichal?
He would have done against Bob Gibson and Marichal and them the same way he does against the guy, because he is a great hitter. A great player will excel in any era. Bernard Hopkins would not have excelled in any other era but this era.
Hold on, gang. The big question mark is, does he beat Chad Dawson or Lucien Boutte? I don't think so. As great as you think he is. This is what I'm trying to tell you. He wants to fight Dawson, then he wants to fight Lucien Boutte. He's not going to beat these guys. See, this is what I'm trying to make you understand.
They're young guys, but he's a very intelligent fighter. He can read a younger man. That's why.
Right. And the fact of the matter is, can he take the unrush and polish young fighters like a Lucien Boutte? I don't think so. But he's
the thing about him is what he's doing, and again, Marie, our first lady of boxing, again, welcome. What I'm trying to say about this, like I said, does, you know, the errors make, like I said, all the difference. Because quite frankly, I've never been a huge Hopkins guy myself. But I have to give the guy props because of, number one, he's had, I believe, a record number of title defenses.
Exactly.
Even though the competition, you can say, is weak. But you can only fight the guys that they put against you.
Rudy,
yes,
you got your...
It is weak.
Yeah, I mean, see, now, that's the point that you got to consider. I mean, you can't take... I'm going to tell you what Dave DeBusschere told me about Will Chamberlain. Doc Stanley, Sports Jeff on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Jeff for the show. We're doing our show, Meet Me in St. Louis, the card that Don King is having tomorrow, HBO After Dark. We'll have the card on at 10 o'clock, and then it also will be on Latin television out of Mexico. I asked Dave DeBusschere one day. I said, you know, Dave, if the late, great Dave DeBusschere, one of the 50 greatest players in the NBA history, the guy who was the key and the glue to the Knicks becoming the champion. I said, Dave, if Will Chamberlain was playing today, could he average 50 points a game? And I see Dave right now, because we were up in, if you remember, Rooney, they had disbanded the old Hall of Fame club, and they built that new room in there. And he's the bar across from me, and he's standing there across the bar. And I see Dave, his face goes into a little mini rage. Not that serious. He adamantly puts his glass down and says, no. No. He'd get 70. Okay? Hopkins is a great fighter in the
season.
For my opinion, there's not a great fighter out there. Hopkins ain't great. Pacquiao ain't great. Mayweather ain't great. Okay, you know, that Mayweather and Pacquiao together don't have enough fights to equal what Duran had at this stage of his career.
You're
The great line that Bert Flowers had about a year ago on his show, when they said, well, you know, Pacquiao's come up from 106, and he said, you know what, if he was in the era of Duran, Benitez, Leonard, Hearns, Harold Weston, said he'd still be at 106. There's not a great fighter out there the best fighter, I think, is Mayweather. Outstanding fighter is Pacquiao. You know, but my point is, you know, you can't sit here and you know, you talk about you can't go to another area. No, you have to judge a guy by the guys before him. And then, because he's going to be judged by the guys after him. And you got to judge Hopkins by the guys before him.
No, no, you got to judge a guy fairly. If you're going to judge a guy fairly, Doc, you got to judge him by the people in his era.
Exactly.
I didn't say we're not judging him by the guys in his era, but I'm saying you can't say that this only this era exists like Jordan. Michael Jordan, you know, if I'm stuck with Michael Jordan being the greatest player ever, fine. But hold wait. Will Chamberlain averaged 50 points a game. Him and Russell averaged 20 rebounds career. Bill Russell, won 11 championships in 13 years. Actually won 11 and 12 because he got hurt. Then he won the two championships in college. So Russell won 13 championships in 14 years. Oscar Robertson averaged 25.7 points a game.
When he I was about to use that name, Doc. Not only is Michael not the greatest ball player of all time, he may not even be the greatest guard of all time.
Somebody named Oscar played this game. I mean, the thing about Oscar, you know, when Oscar retired from basketball, he was the second highest scoring in history, number one in assists. But the measure of Oscar, he actually triple double in college from the forward spot. But no, we got Marie here. Let's get back to Mike. Marie, you know any of these guys on the card tomorrow? You know, we got Devin Alexander, and he's fighting Lucas Matthes.
Devin Alexander, I've seen fight that other fellow that he cut.
I've seen the kid fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think
Bradley.
Of
Bradley. Oh, that's right, when he beat Bradley.
No, well, Bradley beat him.
No, Bradley beat him.
Oh, Bradley beat him. Okay,
yeah,
but
yeah,
who
yeah.
was cut? Then it was Devin Alexander.
Devin Alexander, right.
That's the only time I've seen him.
Now, you know... also on this card, too, Dusty, I don't know if you remember, Thomas, we got Thundercloud is going to be here. Yusuf McAttack is going to be in the card.
Yeah.
And we got Ray Raymond Austin.
Ben Johnson, I think.
Yeah. And Ray Raymond Austin, Ryan the Irish Outlaw, King David McNeed. You know, Don is putting a heck of a card here, as always.
This is a card that's magnificent, as opposed to the other promotions where we get nothing except the headlines.
Marie, this is a typical Don King card. I remember being out in Vegas, gang, and I see Robert Lee Jr. emphatically heading toward the ring, and it's the first fight. I said, Robert, where are you going? He said, it's the first fight. He said, we got a championship fight. The first fight on the card was a title fight, gang. Marie, your thoughts on Don King?
My thoughts is I think he's one of the best promoters in the world that ever was. I'll be honest with you. Yes.
Absolutely.
He gives you your money's worth.
Absolutely.
And great guys on the card.
Absolutely. I go back to the days when that's when I first heard of Don King, when he used to have those championship heavyweight fights on the battleships. That's when I first saw Larry Holmes. And I said, my God, where did this Larry Holmes come from? This guy was a monster, man, with his freaking jab and the way he moved. And I don't know if he was the winner of that championship, but, I mean, Larry Holmes, to me, I said, this guy's going to be heavyweight champion in the future. And sure enough.
Larry always jokes that he's the only fighter in history as a sparring partner get kicked out of both the camps of Ali and Holmes.
Yeah.
Ali and Frazier, I'm sorry. Holmes likes to brag that when he was a sparring partner, that he was the only sparring partner ever to get kicked out of both the camps of Ali and Frazier.
Because he slapped him around, man. The guy was good.
It tells you two things. If Larry Holmes was slapping around Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were at the end of their careers. You know, because Larry Holmes is a great champion. Second longest reign heavyweight champion in history.
Did he put him in the top five, Doc? His heavyweight champ? Did he put him in the top five heavyweights?
He's in the top seven. I mean, Ali's first. Joe Louis has got to be.
Agreed.
You got to have Joe Louis. Then, you know, you're looking around. You know, a guy I've always loved, man, Iron Mike. But Larry, you're my top seven, top ten.
Yes.
You know, George Foreman's got to be there, okay?
Yeah,
accomplishment, you got to have Floyd Patterson, you know?
Yeah.
So let's do it. Ali, Joe Louis, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, okay, Floyd Patterson, okay. Larry Holmes. Okay, Larry's there. Now, you know, we got this, you know, somewhere, I mean, I've never been
Well, based on the time, Doc, where do you put Jack Johnson?
Oh, Jack is in there, no question. Jack is in. I mean, Jack was Ali before Ali as far as a guy mm-hmm. with ability with defense and offense, you know, so you got to put him on both spots here. Hold on, gentlemen. I got another call coming in. This is Alan Harper. Alan?
It is.
Alan?
It is. Hi,
Doc,
Doc,
Stanley,
how you doing?
Okay, Alan, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome.
Dr. Stanley Sports Def on the Blake Reddit Rainbow Supporters Show, the man, the number one PR man in boxing. You won an award, Al. Alan Harper, the right-hand man, the arm, the bloodstream, everything in Don King. Big Al, you got a big card tomorrow in St. Louis.
Oh, boy, we're in the Gateway City, and it's going to be nice and hot here in the summertime. If you can't be here to see it live on the scene, you can catch three of the – it's on the screen, HBO, 9:45 Eastern Time. I'm Doc.
Yeah, well, Al, you know, it's good because finally HBO finally got back to you guys for the longest time. HBO kind of forgot you guys, didn't they?
They lost Don's number for a while, you know. When you're as big and bad as Don King is, there's people that would like you to not be as big and bad. But he's still a force. They love him out here in the Midwest. And we got a big card, Devin Alexander, redemption fight for him. Suffered his first loss against Timmy Bradley in January. He's in with a flamethrower from Trelu, Argentina. He's got a 92% knockout ratio. That means more than 9 out of every 10 people he's faced. He's put to sleep with Big KO's Lucas Matisse. That's what we're talking about. And there's two more on there. IBF Light Heavyweight Championship, Tavares Cloud versus Yusuf Mack, and some heavyweights, Bermain Beware Stiverne and Ray the Rain Man. All those are on HBO if you can't be with us here in St. Louis.
Right.
Yeah, you also got our man Powell from Brooklyn on the card there too, Big Al, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, Powell.
Oh, yeah. There's Don's making Missouri history. They've never had... or at least we're tying, 3 world championships. And the one you just mentioned was Cornelius K-9 Bundridge. He's the one that beat Corey Spinks in his hometown last summer. IBF junior middleweight champion. That's right. And Seikyu Iron Horse Powell from Brooklyn. You may know him.
Right.
Yeah, we know
well.
Also, Doc Stanley Sports, I'm the Blake, the number one PR man in boxing, one of the giants of all time. Al, also, you know, you guys are never content there. You just signed a contract. You're going to have to fight broadcast in Mexico too, Big Al.
That's right. Don made a deal with Cadena Tres. Boxing's a worldwide sport, and nobody does it like DK.
Al, you know, you guys, when you talk about that too, you got to feel good. Because you all were so instrumental in the career of Julio Cesar Chavez. To see his son put a belt on the other day, too. That's got to be a good feeling in the Don King family.
It really is. And that's such a good point, Doc. Because Americans may not know, but Don holds the record for attendance at a boxing match. 136,000 people at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Muy grande la paleta.
Well, you know, not only that, Al, you know, the accolades keep coming. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Brazil, they put Mike Tyson into the Hall of Fame. You guys, when Mike came back, you springboarded him, you took care of him. You got to feel good that another one of your pupils is in the Boxing Hall of Fame there, Big Al.
Right, and it was so nice that Mike and Don have patched things up, and Don was there for Mike's induction and Julio Cesar Chavez's induction. And, you know, that's the funny thing about Don. He seems to be friends with all these guys, Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, Julio Cesar Chavez, Mike Tyson. In the end, they're friends.
Hold on. I've always said all roads lead to Don King. Al, can you hang on a minute? We got a panel here. Dusty, go ahead. Alan Harper, go ahead. Go ahead, Al. Go ahead, Dusty.
Alan, the senior lawyer here. Don King has to be the king, and I'm not playing with his name, has to be the king of promoters because in one of his bios, he's had over 600 world title fights. Does any promoter come that close? I mean, this man has all over the world, and title fights, and a lot of them have been championship guys that he's promoted through the years, and they've all made. I mean, this is you're in the name of the game to make money. They've all made good money under the auspices or support of yourself and Don King.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and so everywhere I've seen on TV that I watch, where he goes to Europe and he's lauded as the king. to coin a phrase. And now here in St. Louis, he has this tremendous show, and he's giving us a bang for the buck. Because look at the
he always
does.
Fight. I mean, I look at this lineup,
and I'm saying, my Lord in heaven. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
You know, I remember working with Don. Stanley, I'm a people person. Al, Al, you know, the demands. Marie, you got a question for Al? Marie?
No, I don't, but I'll be watching tomorrow night, definitely.
Little Coco, Al Hopper's on the line.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Al. Yeah, Al, my question to you, Mel Smith Jr., my question to you, Al, how does it feel to be part of, I mean, it's not just a boxing card, it's a happening.
How should
I mean, like casinos. I'm sorry, Marie?
Just some child.
No, I was about to say, how do you feel to be part of something that's not just a boxing card itself,
by the way,
but,
when he said how still,
it's an absolute honor to have worked for Don King for the last 10 years.
And then just like stop and they'll be like, wait, what? How's he feel to be a
hello? Who somebody has joined us in? Yeah. Alan.
What I was saying is it's an absolute honor to have worked for Don King for the last 10 years. He may not just be the greatest boxing promoter. He may be the greatest promoter in the history of anything.
Right.
Well, you know, Al, a lot of what has been the cream rising to the top, a lot of the credibility, a lot of the stature, a lot of the dignity, that you know, because Don hires only the best. So we have to understand that you are the best. You know, that the personality, I mean, last year you were saluted by the Boxing Writers of America, and it's no secret the Boxing Writers of America have not embraced Don the way they should have. They've not given Don his due, but they said, you know what, this is Don's guy, nobody does it. I never talked to the people at Madison Garden, they said, nobody does it better than you guys. You guys, you're on time, you know what you're doing. You guys are not the best, Al. What I've heard, you guys are the absolute best, and so you got to be saluted. I mean, you know, Don and DJ's got to work with the time. But Alan Harper's got the smile. He's got the suit on. He's always there. Al, you know, you were, you know, you follow some great people. Murray Goodman. Hey, you're the best to ever do it, to Al. 10 years with DK is like 100 years to anybody else, Big Al.
Legends of the sport, Murray Goodman, Bob Goodman, and I just, that's, I try to work hard because what Don King has accomplished, I'm working for his legacy, that
right.
people recognize this man. He will be remembered. I'm a firm believer that he and Bob Arum will be remembered more fondly when they're gone than they are now, because they're one of a kind. They're old time promoters. They do it from the grassroots up, and nobody did it like Bob and Don do it.
Alan,
yeah,
I got a question.
Nobody
here.
Does it like you, my friend.
I know
you got to run out. You're busy. You got a couple minutes. You got to go.
No. I'll stay with you guys all night.
Okay.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Dusty.
This master fight here, the main event, Matisse or Alexander, are you guys already behind the back room, already grooming a contender or challenger for Amir Khan? For the winner between Khan and Zab Judah, are you already putting the gears in shape?
It's very interesting that you bring up Amir Khan, because Timmy Bradley avoided Devin Alexander for a long time. Well, once he got in the ring with him, he cleaned that up. Now Timmy doesn't want to fight Amir Khan, so Amir Khan's going to fight Zab Judah. Now you got to give Devin Alexander credit; he's never avoided anybody. And this Lucas Matisse may be the most dangerous guy in the division. So,
absolutely.
If he's back in the thick of it, if he can get past this flamethrower on Saturday night, this guy is an Argentinian bomber. And he is a brash kid. And at the press conference, his comments were, "I didn't come all the way from Argentina to St. Louis to take a picture with Don King. I came here to knock his fighter, Devin Alexander, out."
That was good.
We'll see if he can back the talk up.
It seems to me the Argentines coming with rocks in their hands, because you got Sergio Martinez, Matisse, and you got Marcos Maidana. What do they eat out in Argentina, man? And then you got, what was the other guy, Carlos Monzon.
Carlos Monzon, the great middleweight, one of the greatest guys in ever. And Matisse trained out of the Sergio Martinez Maravilla, they call him, marvelous one. He trained with him out in Oxnard. He sparred with him, and Matisse noted it. He goes, And you know, Maravilla is left-handed, and so is Devin Alexander. So you can't have a better sparring partner than last year's Fight of the Year winner and Knockout of the Year winner. So, you know, it's he's got a tough hill to climb, but we believe in Devin. And we wish him the best, and we think he's going to come out of victorious on Saturday.
Right, right. So, then victory, then you will push for the winner of Khan and Zab Judah.
They'll take all comers. Kevin Cunningham, the trainer of Devin Alexander, has never avoided anything and never avoided anybody. And Amir Khan is a Golden Boy fighter. We've proven we can work with Golden Boy on this promotion. Maybe we'll work with them again. They're getting pretty big, you know, and the bigger they get, the harder it is to make deals with people. But you know how it goes.
Okay. Jumping on that now, will you guys work with finally giving us what the world is looking for, Mayweather and Pacquiao? I understand that Mayweather is very close to Don and yourself. Is there a possibility that we can see a 2012?
I tell you what. Floyd Money Mayweather has been talking to Don for the last year, and Bob Arum told Floyd, publicly, sign with Don and that deal will get done in 15 minutes. But he preferred to go fight Victor Ortiz with Golden Boy. This is just one fight. And hopefully Floyd, our good friend, will sign with Don. And I swear, Don will get that fight done in a matter of hours.
I've always said that. I've always said if Don King would have had that situation, we'd be looking at Mayweather Pacquiao 3 right now, Big Al.
Mayweather Pacquiao 3. That's good.
You're right.
Let me have something for Alan, if I may. Alan, my question to you is, and I'm glad that you're talking about this particular Rumble, because it seems like it's been years since the public's been asking for it. Let me ask you, Alan, your professional opinion. Why has it taken so long? Why has it been so difficult for us to get the fight that obviously everybody wants to see?
Well, if you want to know the truth, I think Floyd and his family are students of the game of boxing. And when you look at a guy who came from, 130 pounds, and now he's fighting at 147. I think he came lower than that. Pacquiao moved up a long way.
And
it's very rare.
106, Al. Then he started somewhere around 106, 112.
Right. Okay, thank you. And I knew it was down there. I just didn't want to go too far. And when you see a guy go all the way up, and you got to remember, he got knocked down by Eric Morales, and he got beat by Eric Morales.
Badly.
And it's never happened that I know of in boxing that a guy carries his punch up in weight
divisions,
and he gets stronger. So I think that in this day and age of performance-enhancing agents, I think that Floyd didn't like what he saw. And so he started focusing on that, and then Manny started saying that he didn't want to get poked with needles, and I think the answer to why it hasn't happened yet lies somewhere in there, although neither one of those fighters are ours, and it's all just conjecture, but that's what I've seen and read and myself.
Will we ever get to see that fight? Al, with the folks who seem to want to demand that fight, will we ever get to see it? Will it ever take place?
Well, the question is, will it get done in time for it to still be as meaningful as it is today?
Right, right.
Boxing seems to shoot itself in the foot, there's probably 50 million reasons for each fighter to make that fight, but it's not just but Floyd Mayweather certainly doesn't want to besmirch his record and he doesn't want to have it besmirched for anything. So I mean, guys, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how the cookie crumbles.
Alan, you bring so much insight, psychic, and depth. I mean, you say things that once again validates why you are the man. You know, that Arum has long said that one of the things holding Mayweather back is the fact that he doesn't want the O to go. There's been long speculation that Pacquiao, as great as he has been, has somehow it's not all natural. And it's long been said that, you know, had Don been the man handling this, we'd have had this fight done already. Al, you know, what are one of the two traits of Don that you've seen that has made him unequivocally the greatest promoter of all time, the genius that has turned this game around? What is it about Don King that's just different than anybody else.
Well, I'm convinced that he has a near photographic memory, because you wonder how he remembers these. A lot of it can be attributed to that. He started as a numbers runner in Cleveland.
Right.
He's called that a sportsman back in the day. And you have to explain to your younger listeners that when the white people took it over, it became the lottery. And they made it legal. But that's what Don says, and I always get a kick out of that. And he speaks from experience. But that's part of it. And it's like I was saying with the fighters. You hear that these fighters don't like him, but you read that all the time from all the sports writers. But then somehow, some way, he's the most charismatic person. I'm giving you three now. Charisma. But the other thing is, I'm shocked at how many people refer to him as the smartest person that they've ever met in their life. And this is a guy who was scheduled to go to college and didn't make it. Money was tight in the family, and he didn't go. And he did all this without a formal education. So I've seen him go up against Harvard guys and Yale guys and on down the road. And you got to wake up pretty early in the morning. And I like what Don says. He said to a group of people one time, he said, you know, I think I've proved to the world that the people that have come in contact with me that I am not part of the mythical stereotype of African-American people, that they're lazy, lethargic, that they lie, cheat, and steal. He said, because the people I've come in contact with see how hard I work, and they know I'm not lazy. And he goes, but you know what? I'm still catching hell on that lying, cheating, and stealing.
Let me ask Alan one more quick question, if I may. I'll be brief. Alan, just one more thing, if I may. In regard to, as I said, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, you know, Alan, if you could make that or convince the powers that be to make it, you being, as Doc said, an icon in your own right. Let me say this. I come from a wrestling background, okay? And I'm going to say right now today that if you could make that fight now where those two are still relevant, that would be bigger than anything that MMA could do, bigger than any WrestleMania. I mean, now is the time, Alan.
Yeah,
it is. It would probably be, I mean, the fighters, I don't know. What are the fighters going to make, $50 million apiece or something? It's crazy.
Yeah, well, speaking of money, one of the other traits of Don King that I followed through the years is the fact that he's taking care of his fighters, got them generous, great purses.
Larry Holmes said one time, I fight for Don King because Don takes less than anybody. I'm going to tell you, the first time I met Don King, press conference, he came into the Garden with Sonny Werblin, and I remember Richard Jacchetti and Jerry Corey, as I walked past them, give interviews. They said, Don King is the first guy ever in boxing to promise me something, an X amount of money, and I got it. I want to take a quick break here. I want to come back. Let's take a quick break here. I want Alan to definitely stay with us, but I want us to get back and do something with Alan that I think the world should know about. Don't anybody move. Don't nobody say a word, especially you, Dusty, and Mel. No more questions right now. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake, but remember Sports Up. Sure, Alan Hoffman's our special guest. Don King's right here, man. Maria's just with us. Don't nobody move. It's commercial time.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Debt Redemption. Meet me in St. Louis. We've got the right-hand man, the arm, Alan Harper, with us from DK Productions, the Settle Baby Lewis, Mel Smith Jr., and Mary Jew. Al, let's take a minute. Let's talk about Alan Harper. Al, how'd you get into business, your background, your marriage, your colleges? Tell us something about the legendary Alan Harper.
Believe it or not, I grew up in Reno, Nevada. I was always fascinated with the music business. I went to the University of Nevada, Reno. I was a journalism major. I got involved in student government. They elected me vice president of student activities.
No kidding.
So a student body, I started promoting concerts. And I ended up becoming an agent trainee at the William Morris Agency in Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Became an agent there, left to become a music manager, had a couple acts that got big real quick and got small then too. And did a career change. And,
name the actor. Who were they?
Well, actually, when I was an agent, I booked everybody on the roster from, the Beach Boys, the Gloria Estefan, and the Miami Sound Machine,
wow,
the OJs, the Spinners, all those. And then somehow, in the music department, started working in the fair and festival department. I got involved in country music, but I represented guys from California that played kind of a cooler brand of that music, kind of. Like what the Burge pioneered years ago with the Mr. Tambourine Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't really
my cup of tea the way down the line musically. Well, it was all right. I mean, Nashville's okay, but if the band still had hit records, I might still be doing it. But then I moved on. And I went to work at Circus Circus in Las Vegas. 14 months later, I went to work at the Las Vegas Hilton, where I was public relations director and entertainment director, and that's where I met Don. And
the meeting. How did it come about, Al?
I was at Las Vegas Hilton, and they came in and said, "Alan, you know we do boxing because we've been working with Aaron and Bob Aaron, that is, at Top Rank." And they said, "Don King's going to come in. We're going to do Aaron's got." Top Rank's got Oscar the Golden Boy De La Hoya. He's undefeated. And Felix Tito Trinidad is Don's fighter. And they fought in the fight of the Millennium
in
1999.
Oh, wow. That is history.
And, and Don saw my work and said, "If you're ever looking for a job, let me know." And as fate would have it, it came up. I called him, and it was like getting shot out of a cannon. I went to Florida. I went and he never sent me back home. They just mailed my clothes to me, and I ran off and joined
sure
the circus.
Are you
not a stand-up
comedian?
it was crazy.
I remember that card, and it's two things. To his credit, I mean, Don told me, he said, you know what, he gave Aram everything. He said, "I gave Aram everything he wanted." He said, and I told Aram, "If this is such a good deal, when my man beats your man, I'll give you the same deal." He said, "I knew that my man could win, so he gave him everything." And to Don's credit, the fight was never the only. Oscar tried to remake that fight after he left many times.
Aram,
yeah.
But
Aram
never
did come back to you, old Big Al.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, there was a lot of people that thought that Felix Trinidad did not win that fight, but he got the decision. And so you should have done an immediate rematch. And Don said, "Just change the name on the contract. I'll take Oscar's money and for this fight, the money Oscar got last time, and Oscar takes that money." Now, Bob Arum wouldn't do that. And as Don said, he matched Oscar with the hottest fighter in the world at that time, Sugar Shane Mosley, in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And Don
mm-hmm.
said he's going to lose that fight. Bob just ripped defeat from the jaws of victory. And he was right on that.
Isn't that something?
Because Oscar by Sugar Shane Mosley, and he never had a chance to avenge his first loss.
And I remember DK. I see DK now. We're down at the Southeast Seaport. He said, "I gave him everything he asked for." He said, "Because I know that my man can beat his man." He said, "I only told Bob, when my man beats you, if this is such a good deal, then we're just going to flip the switch." What you just said they did, and Bob didn't do, which once again shows the credibility and the gospel of Don King, in the sense that, Don came back to do the right thing. And once again, and these things, too, that people never hear these stories, Alan. We're so glad that you were here to enlighten us, and not because you're Don's guy, because you know the truth. And Don just said, "Truth crushed to the ground will rise again." But we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to do our sports in depth with the lights off and the mic on. And Alan, don't you move out, because we don't want you to go a place. If you ain't got to go, we ain't letting you go. Doc Stanley, Sports Up with the Blake Radio Rainbow Sports Show. Alan Hopper, don't move, man.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Sports in depth, we go into our podcast area. So we close out with John Coltrane. Good Lord, thank you for all good and wonderful things.
thank you for blessings unseen, unmerited, and more importantly, giving us what we want and what we need. In the name of your daughter, Son Jesus, amen. Larry Hardesty!
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Now, without further ado, don't move. Sports in Depth. Keep the lights off. Mic on.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Time as we do. Sports in Depth. Mic on, mic off. Alan Harper's our special guest. Don King's right-hand man, the blood vein that keeps DK rocking and rolling. Dear Lord, thank you for all good and wonderful things. Thank you for the little things which the Lord you take for granted. Thank you for being our God and your darling Son Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Always a prayer. Okay, Sports in Depth. Mic on, lights off. This is where I let Dusty and the crew. We've got Alan Harper, who has just been, you know, I just can't tell you. The first time I met Alan Harper is like I knew him all my life. The energy, the smile, or, you know, and you know, representation. Walt Frazier says something. He says, you know, you have to dress the part. And Al, you always impeccably dress, always
impeccable.
Fit the part. You have been one of the people in this business, Al, that dispels that rumor of boxing being that dirty, seedy, low-life business. When you see Alan Harper, you know there's credibility, you know there's respect, you know the sweet science has a sweetness to it. And on behalf of not only my show here, but the millions of people that we met, man, Al, we love you, and thank you so much for what, you know, Don King is the biggest thing in boxing. And to have the accessibility, anytime we need to get you, we get you right away, Al. We just want to thank you for
right.
that, Al. Thank you so very much,
exactly.
my friend.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is Alan there?
Al? Yeah.
I'm
Al?
Here. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Alan,
well,
I got a
quick
question for you, if I may. I just want to
go
pick
ahead.
Your brain for a moment, if I may. Most live here. Alan,
go
I am doing my preparation. Thank you, doctor. And doing my preparation for DK, Alan, I believe that Doc is DK isn't just a boxing global icon, but I believe he managed the Jackson family in the 84 Victory Tour. You being a former person who managed, you know, celebrities and stars. What? Just give me a glimpse of what it takes to do such an undertaking.
Who could forget the Jackson's Victory Tour? That was the biggest tour ever. I think that they had the highest ticket prices. They were like $30.
Wow.
To date, and Don was the promoter of that, and he brokered the deal with Pepsi, and that was the ill-fated Pepsi commercial where Michael, the flame got too close to him, and his hair went.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that was a history-making thing, and Don had a great time. He loved and still loves Michael Jackson and the Jackson family, and he loves music. So that's
Alan, what kind of work goes into something huge like that? You know, people, the superstars, like the Jacksons, and something that huge and anticipated.
It's like boxing. It's show business. It's what you guys are doing right now. We're all part of the show business family, and we want to entertain people. And there's nobody better at that, I don't think, than Don King. He's a tremendous entertainer.
Do you have to soothe a lot of egos when you deal with folks in terms of I get top billing or who's first and who's second? And you have to
absolutely,
deal with that?
Absolutely. And again, nobody does that better than Don King. That's why Floyd should come with Don, because he could get that fake fight made under the terms that Floyd wants to get it made. And that there's nobody better at that than DK.
Well, let me throw a clinker here. Manny Pacquiao the other day, I'm pretty sure you heard about it, was offered guaranteed $75 million by a Mexican billionaire to fight Canelo Alvarez, the junior middleweight champ who fought last week.
Oh, is that Carlos Slim? in Mexico, the richest man in the world?
The richest man in the world, yeah. Right. Oh, no, I don't know if it was Carlos Slim, but I know he's a Mexican, to fight Pacquiao to fight for $75 million guaranteed, and one of them Coliseum, the bull rings. You know, now, is it possible that such a purse of that magnitude can be matched if Pacquiao and Mayweather are made? Because Mayweather the other day, or 6, 7, 8 months ago, said, I will fight Manny Pacquiao if you guarantee me 100 mil. And everybody said, whoa, what's going on here? I mean, you know, is he trying
crazy,
to talk his way out of the fight, or is he real? You know, is he for real?
It's like putting the Beatles back together. It's the Holy Grail, you know? I mean, Holy Grail of boxing, they're still alive, and I guess they're just, this is just going to go on until it gets done.
It gets done. I see.
Maria,
wow.
Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you, but I'm going to say goodnight. I want to watch the fight at 9 o'clock. No, I wish this guy, Al, from the bottom of my heart, lots of luck tomorrow with the card in St. Louis. And I'll be watching.
On HBO, 9:45 Eastern Time and Pacific.
Oh, I know. I have it circled in my book already.
Al, you're talking to this is a real fight. I met her at the press conference 1995. Leroy Neiman had did a drawing of Roy Jones Jr. for his manager, and I hear this voice across the room. Hey, I know you. You're Doc Stanley from Breaking on Boxing. We've been friends ever since. Her husband Joe just celebrated
That's
the
correct.
Birthday. She's a tremendous boxing fan, her son Greg, and she's been, I mean, you know, she's one of those, I always say boxing fans are the most intelligent fans in sports because they have to do their own homework. This is one of the geniuses. Marie, thanks for being with us. And take care of yourself.
I appreciate, I wish I was with you guys. You're so into it.
We wish you were here too, Marie. Marie, before you go, one quick one. Who's your favorite fighter?
Manny Pacquiao.
Of all time?
No.
Roy
Jones Jr.
Really? Alan, who's your favorite fighters, Al?
A Felix Tito Trinidad from the island of Puerto Rico. He was he was always so nice to me and such a wonderful guy. And I didn't even know this till just actually a couple months ago, but remember he used to come in the ring with a straw hat? And I didn't know why he did that. Do you know why he did that?
Why?
To signify back home that he was a common person and he was no different than the man on the street. And he was like the Muhammad Ali of Puerto Rico. He would always sign autographs, and he was good with people.
Alan, I remember Don, you know, was the guy that Tito didn't really want the limelight. He wanted to just be low-key. And Don was the guy that, you know, he's the one Puerto Rican fighter that would fill the garden. The last time I saw Tito, he was coming in. At a fight, the guard, he said, hey, my friend, and you're right, Al, a great guy, great champ, always had time for autographs, and just another product of Don King Productions. Big Al, also, email me that number for DK when you get a chance.
You got it.
We'll try to catch you with
you
next week.
Okay,
but gentlemen, it's all yours.
I got to get the weights out. I got to get the weights out.
Okay, Al, we love you, baby.
All right, love you too. Thanks for having me on.
Alan Harbor,
hey, thanks for being with
us. Pleasure.
Thank you,
man.
Gentlemen, and people
you know,
across the world.
We should get together after the fight and have another show.
You know, Brazil, Panama, Cuba, all United States. You've just listened to one of the, you know, special people in this business. I mean, Al is not a good guy. He's a great guy. You know, the insight that he brought us into the Trinidad and De La Hoya rematch
it's
never
amazing.
Happening. The straw hat. And this is the kind of thing that I've said, viewers, that Sports in Depth brings you. Sports in Depth Nation, as we like to say. You don't hear it any place else but here because we bring you the best. Larry Hardesty opens the show, and he says, the shakers and the makers in the world. And that's one of the guys, you know, that's a humble guy. That guy has one of the most prestigious jobs, and yet he has one of the most tedious jobs. Don King, you know, one thing about,
demanding
you know, Don.
Demanding jobs. Demanding.
But listen, you know, think about, you know, when Don got his private plane, I mean, like he said, shot up a cannon, he's right. When Don told Al he wanted him, that was it. Don sent for his clothes because when Don got his own plane, that meant like a lot of times when Don would say, Dad, you know what? I think we should be in St. Louis now. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, He couldn't fly because he had a flight at 11 o'clock. But now with his own private plane, he calls his pilot. They can leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, and Al has always done the run, always impeccable. Great guy, great person. And once again, you know, my panel was right there on the money, you know, because like I said, you know, and don't get carried away, fellas. But the truth, you guys are not the best, the absolute best. We this was a special show with this guy here. And once again, you guys came through. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, Ready to Rainbow Show, Sports Network, the show. You know who it is. You know where we're at. And it's none other than Sports in Depth on the Blake, Rainbow Show, Sports in Depth, the show. And Sports in Depth with the lights on, lights off, mic on. Dusty, I'm going to let you babble with the Rooney. I'm going to, and we'll close out from there, as we always like to do. Whatever the guy, you know, we go ahead. We got another five. You go ahead and let it. The thing, too, that Sunday night we're going to have Harvey Farmer, who was wrote the book, no book about Fenway Park. He's going to join us. We're going to have John D. Hertz. He's going to join us and try to grab a couple other people as we're going to do a little baseball on Sunday night. And we're going to have the crew back, Sea Wings, Lady A, Little Coco, Mel Smith Jr. Try to call down the floor to get a hold of Harold West and talk some more about his fight card. But without further ado, Dusty?
Yeah, we got another 5 minutes,
I figure I'm going to give you 5 minutes, because I figure in 5 minutes, that's enough time that I can still keep my show by Sunday.
Well, I got a question for Dust Doc, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dusty, right quick.
Dusty, I haven't hung the phone up, and Rooney got a question for you already. I'm not going no place.
Doc, stay with it, Doc.
Rainbow Soul is supposed to have the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Dusty and Rooney.
Thank you.
Well, Doc, five minutes, okay, what you got, Rooney?
Hey, Dusty, no, not
yeah,
go ahead,
yet.
Two guys, Dust, your opinion on that I want to know. Both Doc and I believe Marion Boykin may have said this also, that, you know, with Tommy's just physical gifts, height, reach, ran rod, jab, brutal right hand, Dust, that he basically should have had an undefeated career. I know how hard that is to
Tommy
do, Dusty.
Tommy Hearns, you mean? Tommy Hearns? Are you talking about Tommy Hearns?
Yeah, Doc and I seem to think, and he said Marion Boykin agrees, that with his physical gifts, the height, the reach, the ramrod jab, the big, huge right hand, that basically with his physical gifts, if he'd have fought some fights a bit smarter and took advantage of all his physical gifts, that his record should have been whatever and oh.
Absolutely. He would have remained undefeated, but the fact of the matter is that tall guys have perhaps a little bit of difficulty fighting stocky dudes who get under their arms. I fought a guy, Joe Salvato, and when I saw this dude, skinny as Tommy Hearns, and I saw his ribs, and he could play xylophones on his ribs, I figured, oh, this poor guy, I'm going to kill him. This guy almost killed me for the first two rounds. Thank God it was a six-rounder. But the fact of the matter is that I got underneath his body. I got underneath his arms. The arms were too long for him to fight inside. And this is where I found that Tommy Hearns' Waterloo was, because if you saw the fight with Sugar Ray Leonard was losing until he got under his arms and hit him with that left hook to the liver. And Marvin Hagler fought him under his arms, even though he hit Marvin Hagler. But yes, you're right. Roberto Duran fought him wrong. He fought him from the outside, and he killed Duran.
I know something, Dust. He hit Duran and had the same result, and hit Cuevas with the same punch, and the result was the same for both.
Exactly. He hit Duran, and Duran was out just like Ricky Hatton before he hit the canvas.
Because
he fought Tommy Hearns wrong. Now, Tommy Hearns' Waterloo was the fact that the guys got underneath him, but he would have remained. He would have probably been one of the first guys who retired undefeated. But there's also a weakness, you know, in every fighter, so to speak. And his weakness
is that the problem with Paul Williams?
That he lets guys get in underneath? Is that his problem?
That's the problem. Well, you saw what our house Martinez beat him to come low, to come low to fight at his level. But as Paul Williams has said, whoa, wait a minute. I already fought him the first time, and he dropped me slugging with him. I'm not going to go out there and slug with this guy. But you saw from the very first round that that Paul Williams came out there to slug with Martinez. And I'm saying, are you crazy? You don't trade punches with a slugger. You box a slugger. Okay?